It's not debatable. It's the truth. It's on my birth certificate. Winners. There's some people in this world that call me winners, and that's fine. That's fine. You can call me whatever. I got a bunch of hecklers up here, so if I can have some ushers come. Please, ushers. Gotta look out for Jesse and Chad. We have so much fun in our youth group. Our youth pastor is Jesse, and me and Chad used to lead the youth group, and now we gave it to Jesse. And it's like such a huge blessing for us to like have him be the youth pastor at our church. You have no idea. And it's just been fun. It's like we have a team, and we all are like similar jokes. It's just a really fun time. So if your kids are in youth group age, come Wednesday nights to hear a shameless plug. We're going to do a few shameless plugs for what God's doing. So anyways, today I want to talk about something awesome. Like, it sounds really like not awesome and really not fun to talk about, but really it's going to change your life. So today I want to talk about becoming an overcomer and living in victory over sin. Everyone's like, oh, that's exciting. Living in victory over sin. It's like not like the most like revival-driven subject out there, but it is probably one of the most important subjects for your life, guys. Like, there's so much victory when we overcome sin in our life. So for the last 9 years, I would say, since I've been a Christian, all I've been hearing was the third great awakening coming. Like, every single minister has come up and they've said something like, the third great awakening is coming. Revival is coming. Like, there's an outpouring coming. I've been hearing this for 9 years. I mean, I've been a Christian for like about 15, but like for the last 9 years, like it's been dramatic, like really loud. Like, the third great awakening is coming. It really is. There's the largest harvest of souls is coming that we've ever seen, guys. The largest harvest of souls. Like, everyone's saying it. People from different streams are saying it. People from different churches are saying it. It's such a huge deal. Like, guys, we are a part of that end time revival. We're a part of that revival of Jesus coming. And it's huge. It's a big part. And there's going to be people getting saved. Isn't that exciting? Who's excited about that? Like, that is the good news. I'm so excited about it. And we're all looking with anticipation for that day to come when we start seeing some of that revival fire start happening. I feel like we're already starting to see it in part. So this is really going to happen. I'm just going to like emphasize, it's really going to happen. Revival's going to break out. But you know what? The enemy is wanting you to be taken down because of this revival that's coming. He doesn't want you to be a part of it. I just want you guys to know that. It's his plan to steal, kill, and destroy. That's his only plan. Is to still kill and destroy. He doesn't have any other motive. Like, he's just nasty. We don't like him. Nope. So and you guys in this room, I'm looking around this room, and like, you know how there's that saying that you have to wear sunglasses because your future's so bright? They say that to graduates and stuff. But it's true. Around this room, I can see like the calling of God on every single person's life. And it's so bright and it's so big and it's so powerful. And like, remember at that conference, and you guys were all getting prophesied over, each and every one of you. And I was just like weeping and weeping. Because like, what God's going to do through you is so big, it's so bright, it's so good, it's so large. Like those Olsen boys, when they were getting prophesied over, it's like, oh, the Olsen boys, you know. I was like, I knew that, but it's cool hearing someone else say that over them that didn't know them. So it's just awesome. So it's a massive thing. But because of that huge revival that's coming, we have got to become overcomers. We have got to get our character in line. We have got to get our attitudes of heart in check. It's a massive part of what God wants us to do. It's a massive calling that God wants us to do, is to live in complete purity and complete righteousness, and not like being half in the world and half out of the world. That's not going to work. It's not going to be okay. That's not how like it works at all. We need to be completely overcoming sin. And it's possible, guys. It's possible to do that. And I'm going to help you. This is like the bulk of the message today is about giving you tips and advice of how you're going to be able to overcome these things in your life that you're like, I don't even know if that's possible to overcome. Okay? So that's just an overview. In Matthew 24, verses 12 through 14, it says, sin will be rampant everywhere, and the love of many will grow cold. And this is talking about the end of the age. sin will be rampant everywhere, and the love of many will grow cold. That's like our passion for Jesus. That's when it says the love of many will grow cold. It will, so this is at the end of the age. But those who endure to the end will be saved. And the good news about the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world so that all the nations will hear it, and then the end will come. That's exactly what I was just talking about, the third great awakening. This is it right here in the Bible. I'm not like a huge student of the end times. I don't feel qualified to preach on that. I just don't know a ton about it. But I do know this, that Jesus coming and revival go hand in hand. They're like the same thing. Like seeing God break out and seeing mass salvations. It says it in the Bible over and over again. The whole world will hear his name. Everyone. All the nations will hear it, and then Jesus will come back. It says it right there in the Word. So this is a huge part of what God's doing. But it also says, like, the love of many will grow cold. So temptation will be rampant. And Christians are going to be tempted to reject what God has taught them from the beginning. And that is to live on that path of righteousness. All right. So what are some of these things that I'm talking about when I talk about becoming an overcomer? I just made a little list, and it's kind of a nasty little list of things that we need to overcome, and I just see it in the church. I'm not talking about anyone specifically. I see it in my own life sometimes, these specific things. Some of them are offense, self-hatred, anger, gossip, lust, apathy, pride, lying, laziness, and worry. These are some things that I see. There's a whole bunch of other ones, but these are things I see that the church as a whole, they just kind of get hung up on, and it's just like a habitual sin for their life. And I just see it. It's not like it's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. It's just kind of the reality of the situation, guys. So I'm not trying to like point fingers at anyone, I promise you. But this is kind of like where we're at as a church and things that I have struggled with in the past and sometimes still do, okay? There is a sad reality that we can be ministering and also living in sin, that we can see miracles and we can also be far from God in our character, in our attitude of the heart. So that's like the tricky thing about the things that are coming. Like, it's going to be so easy just to pray for someone on the street and see them get healed and see miraculous things happen. And people around us are going to think, oh, that's a man of God. That's a woman of God. But we can still be far from God and still see miracles happening. We need to be in that secret place with God. We need to be going after him in purity and in righteousness, because that's what really matters. Like, when we get to heaven, Jesus isn't going to ask you about how many people got healed. He's going to ask you about your heart and your character, how you treated your children, how you treated your spouse, how you, what did you do on the internet, like stuff like that. That's going to be the reality of heaven. So, like, it's kind of an intense word. I didn't think it would be that intense. But, sorry, guys. So, like, it's just, that's how it's be. So we, like, for me personally, I've seen this happen in my life before. Like, 3 or 4 years back, like, we went out evangelizing, and I knew I wasn't really right with God. But that day, I saw more people healed and touched by the gospel than ever before. And, you know, it's not about me. That's, like, what I realized in that moment. But it's also scary because I can see all those people healed and touched by the gospel, and my heart is not on fire. My heart is not overcoming sin, living in victory. It's crazy. Isn't that crazy, guys? Like, it happens. It really is. It's a scary place to be. And my prayer is that no one in our church would be, like, caught in hidden sins and that we would all be overcomers. It's such a big deal, guys. It's such a big deal. You just got to get serious about it. It's a really huge thing. So our hope today. So in John 8, verse 32, it says, "So if the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed." Isn't that awesome, guys? Today, we're just going to breeze through here, but we're going to talk about how what it means to have Jesus die for you and what it means for your life in sin. What happens when that happens? How free are you? How much do you believe that you can be free from sin in your life? when I went to Bethel School of Supernatural Ministries, that's Bill Johnson's church, that's like Bethel Music, they have a whole school there. I went there. Do you know what the most preached on subject that they preached us when I was there? It was character. Character was the most important thing they wanted to impart to us as a school, which is super surprising. You would think, oh, it's Bethel. They would talk about healing. They would talk about miracles, in which they did do those things. But they talked about character and living free from sin more than anything. And, you know, sometimes when you go to school ministries, there's a list of rules of things you can do and you can't do. You can't, like, wear certain things. At this school, they didn't have any list of things you can and can't do. They said, you are literally free to make your own choices, but you better make a right choice. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you have that freedom. Use your freedom wisely. They're kind of set us up for the real world. Like, you have freedom to watch whatever you want, but what are you going to watch? What is God telling you to watch? What is he telling you not to watch? Character is huge, guys. And God is speaking to you, and he cares about these things. And because it affects your life. It affects your family. It affects everybody around you. Your sin isn't just you personal sin. It affects everybody in your life. If a parent sins, it will affect their children, even if you don't even realize it. There's consequences to sin. It's a big deal. All right. This is how I'm going to show, we're getting a little intense, so I'm going to take a little break here. We're going to show a little video of how I feel like people view Jesus when it comes to sin. And I think it's kind of funny. You want to turn the lights off? It's not meant to be offensive, I promise, okay? But this is how I think people think of sin.
Do you think he can fly?
Shh. Here he comes. Well, all right. Now it's time for me to tell you all what you've done wrong since I last saw you. And don't try and hide, because I'm Jesus. I will find you. Let's start with you, Peter. You lied to your mother the other day. Andrew, you said a naughty word when you hit your finger with the hammer. James, you laughed at him when he hit his finger. Moving right along, John, you drank too much wine the other night. Not way too much, just enough to make me angry. Matthew, we fell asleep in church, didn't we? Yes, we did. And Thomas, you were slow dancing a little too close with that girlfriend of yours. Let's see, and you, I forgot your name, so you're off the hook for now. Philip, I saw you smoking a cigarette behind that big rock the other day. Thaddeus, I hate to say I saw you stick up your middle finger at someone who cut you off when you were riding your camel. Benjamin, you aren't wearing your WWJD bracelet. Jacob, I don't mind you saying my name, but not after you stub your toe. And Frank, you know what you did. I just can't repeat it because I'm Jesus. All right, all you sinners, come with me. Time to pay the piper.
Man, it was only one cigarette.
I heard that.
All right, that was just silly, I know, but I feel like, yeah. Sometimes as Americans, like, I feel like, I don't know, just as people, this is how I probably viewed Jesus growing up, and that's how it's, like, my cultural view of, like, okay, like, right and wrong actions, like, I do this, Jesus is mad at me, like, kind of, like, I don't know, it's kind of a silly way to look at Jesus, right? Don't be offended by that video, I just think it's funny, I just need to laugh more often, and it was funny for me, okay, it's meant to be funny, not offensive, Jesus doesn't act that way, all right, we must understand what it means to be saved by Jesus. It's a loaded package. So in Acts 13, verse 39, we know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we are no longer enslaved to sin. For the one who has died has been set free from sin. All right, can you guys say this? We are dead to sin. That's what Jesus did for you. He died so that your sin would just be total. It's done. It's dead. So when you got saved, your sin is dead, right? It's just dead. It's what it is. Dead. Your body is dead to sin now. Can you, do you believe that? A lot of people don't believe that because they were like, well, I keep sinning, though. Why do I keep sinning? Why does this happen? Like, we just need to come into alignment with who God created us to be dead to sin. It's not a part of our life. We are alive to Jesus. Yep, we are really, really set free from sin because of Jesus. It's just the truth. It's complete truth. This is the gospel. You wouldn't go on the street and share the gospel with someone and tell them, well, here's the good news of the gospel. Jesus can, like, save you from all your sins, but you know what? You're probably going to sin again, and, you know, you're going to have to work through that and be condemned for that. You know, like, that's kind of how we treat ourselves. But the good news of the gospel is when we are saved from our sins, we are completely set free from those sins. And sometimes we treat other people more nicely in their sin than we treat ourselves. Do you understand what I'm saying? Does that make sense? We got to really fully understand what it means to have the gospel become alive in our lives. So in Romans 6, verse 6 through 7, you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. So that's not a really bad trade. Free from sin, but now slaves to righteousness. Who wants to be a slave to righteousness? It's not really that bad of a thing. I love that. It's awesome. I love that verse. All right, Romans chapter 8, verse 16. But now we have been freed from sin and enslaved to God. Sound familiar? You derive your benefit resulting in sanctification and the outcome eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And I know we heard that last part of the scripture like a million times, like, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. We say that, we quote that scripture all the time when we share the gospel. But did you realize it was in the context of you are free from sin? And you're enslaved to God in righteousness. That's the context of that whole scripture, which is amazing. And do you know what sanctification means? It says the result of us being freed is sanctification. It means set apart for particular use and a special purpose or work and to be made holy and sacred. Can you say that with me? I am holy. I am sacred. I am sanctified. That's what God is saying over your life. It's the complete truth of the gospel. All right, Romans 6, verses 22 through 23. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. It just keeps repeating itself over and over again. Like, the Spirit of life has set you free in Jesus from the law of sin and death. Sin equals death. It's the complete truth. But Jesus equals life and truth because of what he did for us on the cross. This is a massive promise that I feel like we can walk in. It's the truth of what we can walk in. And I feel like sometimes we feel so trapped and so enslaved to sin, even as a Christian, that we feel like we can't get our way out of it, that we can't stop doing the things that we want to do from our selfish ambitions. You know what I understand? Like, we just want to keep doing those things, but we can be completely free through Christ Jesus. I want you to say this today. I am an overcomer. Yes. And I feel like all Christians must believe this, that they are overcomers. We are the hope of the world, guys. That's who we are. When people see us living in righteousness, they're like, yeah, there's something different about you. Like, your life looks different than mine. It's amazing. And this is a side note today. I feel like, I mean, you guys can look up scriptures for yourself, but I feel like all sin comes from a desire to feel oneself and not God. So selfishness is the spirit of the age. I just feel like that's part of the age that we're living in. I mean, have you ever heard of, like, the entitlement generation thing? Like, that's all derived from selfishness and selfish ambitions. So in James chapter 3, verses 15 through 18, it says, "For jealousy and selfishness are not God's kind of wisdom. Such things are earthly, unspiritual, and demonic." That's jealousy and selfishness. That's crazy. And then it says, "For wherever there is jealousy and selfish ambition, you will find disorder and evil of every kind. But the wisdom from above, which is from heaven, is first of all pure. It is also peace-loving, gentle at all times, and willing to yield to others. It is full of mercy and good deeds. It shows no favoritism and is always sincere. Those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of righteousness. So let's serve one another and be free from the spirit of this age. So that was just a little side note. It's just massive, guys. I just feel like over and over again, I just feel like what Jesus did for us on the cross, I feel like we simplify it almost too much sometimes, but it's so big. He died for our sin. He died for even our bodies to be whole again. And what is wholeness? It's to be living free from sin and from death, guys. It's true. He gave us life and life abundantly. It's all over the scriptures. It's like that's the gospel of who Jesus is to be freed from sin and to be slaves to righteousness. That's just like who God is and what he did for us. And that's how much he loves us and cares for us. And like everything in us should just like be coming into alignment with that continually. And that's what happened when we got saved, guys. Just going to embrace it. So I'm going to go through, I have 12 tips. I don't know why 12. That's just all I could think of maybe of how to live in a lifestyle of being overcomers. So I like practicality. That's like part of who I am. I like knowing, I like the head knowledge of things, but I also like, okay, give me some wisdom here of like, how can I do this every single day of my life? Because I know in my head right now, like you guys just heard it, let me say it like 20 times, like I can be freed from sin, right? You guys heard me say that 20 times because it's really important that we know that. But also like, how in the world can I do this? Because I know I sin, right? Have any in here sin sometimes? Yeah, I know. You know, I'm not looking. I know, I didn't see. But if it's true, it's just something that we do. And so, yeah, so here's some advice for you. I like to give advice and some tips. Take what you want and go with it. First of all, tips for overcoming sin is, first of all, accountability. If you are married, it should be your spouse, believe it or not. And if you're not, find someone that's safe to be accountable to. Maybe a few years back here, me and Chad, I remember we were at the lake and we're sitting in the car and I was just like, I'm done with sin. I'm tired of this like this thing where we just go about our business and you just see like negative consequences to our sins in our life. I'm like, I'm just done. I'm done with it. So in that moment, we just decided that no matter how awful our sin is, or no matter how lucky it looks like, we're going to tell each other, we're going to confess it to each other, and we're going to be done with this thing. It was a resolve in our spirit. It was like the biggest thing that we could do to change our lives is to commit together in resolve. No matter how lucky it looks, I'm going to tell you what happened in my life. I'm going to tell you what I said to my child. I'm going to tell you what I did in secret. Like, I'm going to tell you, like, what that was and how nasty it was. And it was so powerful for us, just bringing everything to the light. It just was, like, the first step in the right direction. No matter what it is, no matter how lucky it is, it's kind of like your phone a friend card, you know, and, yeah. Just really helpful. So if you have someone in your life you can do that with, if you're a guy, pick a guy. If you're a girl, pick a girl. Pick someone. If you have like a sibling, pick your sibling. You know what I mean? Just pick someone in your life where you can tell your deepest, uckiest things to bring it to the light. Take those things out of the closet. Shake them off. Repent and move on. Do you understand? Something that we do that's kind of fun in our house for accountability, my husband started doing this with the kids, is if we ever say something that is bad or like a bad word, we don't say like cuss words, but if you say like crap or something like that, look at these guys are stressed out, or like butthole or something, I don't know, something mean. So we have two things that we have to do. If we say something like that, the kids are allowed to say unnecessary. They can't say anything more. They can't say anything less, but they just have to say the word unnecessary. And then we know that we were in the wrong. So we have that. They know what it is. Okay. So let's not do it, though, right now. Okay. All right. And then also, if someone's mean to someone else in our house, if someone sins against someone, they have to say three nice things to them. And it's sometimes in their anger, they'll say 3 negative things to them. So then they'll have to say 12 nice things to them, because we all know how to do math. So yeah, it's fun. It's a fun little exercise, and we are always saying nice things to each other now, because sometimes we can be jerks. So there you go. Hendrickson Life. But it's changed our family. It's kind of almost painful to like watch how like we interact with each other from people from the outside world, because they're like, yeah, you're just so raw and like so honest and like so, this is my next point, is transparency. You're so like honest with each other, and people don't understand like when you have conversations with someone and you tell them exactly how you're feeling and exactly what you're saying, like it feels weird because we're Americans and we don't share our feelings, but that's how we do it in our home and it just works for us, and I encourage you to do that as well. So the next part is transparency. And transparency is a huge deal. In the church, I feel like Christians can work on being a little transparent. I think it would be good for you. Don't dumb down the sin that happened. You don't need to tell the whole world. They don't need to know. Just Jesus and maybe a friend. If you've been at like a job before and they haven't been transparent with you about what to expect and what to do or anything like that, it's kind of a frustrating place to be, isn't it? When people aren't telling you the truth. That's my experience with people that I work with. And just like apologizing. So sometimes we say this in our house, it's like, I'm being a total jerk today. I'm sorry. Like, these are the reasons why. And like, and that's okay to say that. And that doesn't make me like a terrible person.
Maybe we should. I don't know what's wrong.
All right, there you go. Do you guys know that Alex is super awesome? When we did Gather in the Generals, he probably put in like 40 hours that weekend. I'm not joking. It was crazy. And everything was breaking, and it wasn't his fault at all. So if anyone thought it was his fault, you're wrong. It wasn't. It was not his fault. It was just a crappy thing that happened. I'm sorry. It's unnecessary to say the word crappy. Thank you. Accountability. Don't say crap. It's a bad word. Okay. Sometimes Pastor Jeff says it. I'm just kidding. I love you guys. Okay. Never heard it. All right. So sometimes as Christians, we are afraid to tell the truth or to look bad. It's like self-preservation. When people tell a lie, it's for self-preservation. That's the truth of why people lie, which is ironic. You're like just lying because you want to preserve yourself or you don't want to hurt somebody. But the truth is, we're all going through stuff. We're all going from glory to glory, and we're all working through stuff. And so there is some stuff that we're working on in our lives. So even in our family, when we talk with our kids about sex and stuff like that, we don't joke around with it. We are very transparent about that subject in our house, because we want them to not joke around about it when we're not with them. So even sometimes, like, when they're in a different place and other people are joking around about it, they're like, why are they being weird about this? And I'm like, well, they're weird. It's not you, obviously. So, but the truth is, sometimes it is weird that we would be different when we talk about something, when a subject like that. So be honest, be open, and then conversations can be happening both ways. It's a little side note. Transparency is a huge deal for the church. Number 3, having a clear goal and mission for your life. So, like, don't focus on what God isn't doing, but what God is doing. So sometimes we can get into this trap of, like, looking at that mountain in front of us of, like, whatever it is, like, anxiety. You're trying to tackle anxiety. You're just looking at it. You're like, you're feeling anxious looking at anxiety. Like, that's not really what you should look at, what God's doing, and have faith that God is going to take over that anxiety and that won't even be a part of your life anymore. So faith attracts faith. Testimonies attracts testimonies. Have you ever been around like a negative Nancy before? Sorry if your name's Nancy. All right. So, but someone that's like super like negative and like always gossiping, like it's draining. It's exhausting to be around. And sometimes it pulls you into gossip. It pulls you into negativity as well. So gossip attracts gossip, sin attracts sin. So keep in mind, keep a clear focus, keep a positive outlook, and it just keep going. That's what helped me in my life. Don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good. That's Romans 12, verse 21, if you need a reference. Okay, and then again, this is just another side note. By doing good thing doesn't mean that you have good character. It's just a tool to help you have good character in this reference, in this subject, okay? Okay, number four, know yourself. So self-awareness marks a true leader. Knowing what your weaknesses are, knowing what your triggers are, it's a huge deal. So what you need to do is build a plan in your life to help you with your boundaries in your life. So like when me and my husband, we were getting married, we both come up with a purity plan too, right? And most of you guys have done that. If you got married when you were a Christian, you had a purity plan to keep you from sin before you got married. We all know why. Okay, so for him, like, If we kissed each other, that would cause him to go down a path that he didn't want to go down. So he made a boundary that we wouldn't kiss before we got married. So if you went to our wedding, that kiss that you saw, that was our first kiss we've ever had. And so that's cool, and I'm really happy about that. But like for me, that wasn't my boundary. I didn't really need that boundary in my life, but that was his. So we meet each other where we are. That's what you do when you make a purity plan. So you just need to know yourself and know your boundaries, and you can't feel guilty about your boundaries just because everyone around you is watching whatever it is, whatever TV show it is, doesn't mean you can watch it too. Just because everybody watches baseball doesn't mean Pastor Jeff can watch baseball. You guys heard this example, right? You guys know about baseball, okay? So it's just kind of like how we guard ourselves. For me, a boundary in my life, so I don't scream at my children, which happens sometimes, is I need at least like 15 minutes of downtime every day. And it can't be just like downtime with chaos around me. It needs to be downtime that is mindless. I can't be just like filling out a form. That's work for me. I need to have mindless, doing nothing, watching YouTube, something not intense, mindless, funny stuff for 15 minutes a day. Otherwise, I might yell at my kids more. So that's just something that I have for a boundary. Or like, it can be so simple. I'm trying to be practical for you mamas out there and daddies, because I understand what it is. And family, this is where you want it to start, and that's where you want it to go. Like, you want it to start in your family, and you want to have like this place where it's safe and where you can be overcomers in your family, and then it goes on the outside. So like, even like, I can't watch my kids get ready for bed sometimes because it stresses me out. Like the way they brush their teeth and the way they interact with each other, it just drives me crazy. So I just don't watch it. Like, I just let them do it, and then I come back up after they're done and be like, okay, why are you not done? But like, just like the action of watching it would stress me out, and it would put us in odds with each other, and it's not worth it, and I would be tempted to sin and scream at them. So this is transparency, guys. There you go. So also, knowing your identity is a part of knowing who you are. What sin is for you isn't for someone else. So like, I don't drink alcohol. I know people drink alcohol, but for me, I would become a complete addict if I drank alcohol. I just know that about myself. I know my tendencies. You've seen me drink coffee. I'm obsessed with that kind of stuff. So you know what I mean? Like, some of these guys laugh because I work with them. If I don't have coffee in the morning, I'm a complete bear. So you just got to have boundaries, and you got to drink coffee so you can be happy and not sin. Okay, that's not a quote, okay? So you got to know your stress triggers, and you got to know your boundaries and where you're going and what's going to happen, okay? Stress is a huge trigger for me. I don't like being stressed. That will cause me to sin every day of my life. Just can't be stressed. We're not allowed to be stressed. Did you guys know that? We're not allowed to worry. Jesus commanded us not to worry. It's actually a sin to worry. Isn't that weird? It's crazy. All right, number five, declare truth over your life and rebuke lies. And I feel like Shannon does this so good with her kids. Like, she's just always, like, declaring stuff. And, like, whenever I come to her with something, she always just like, okay, let me just declare some truth over your life and over your kids' life. And I'm like, yeah. And, like, I feel like everything is shifted and everything's different after that happens. So a lie would be today is that you will never overcome whatever sin you're thinking about. This is a huge lie that Christians believe, but the truth is you can do all things with Christ who strengthens you. You can overcome that sin. You are free from sin. You are dead to it. You are dead to sin, okay? All right. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free, and that is John 3, verse 16 through 17. So let's just do a little quick exercise on your piece of paper there. So let's write down a lie that you're believing in your life right now. Whatever it may be. And you probably already know it's a lie. That's kind of the ironic thing about this exercise, is we know that we believe lies in our life. All right. And then after you write down that lie, I want you to put a truth right underneath it, whatever that lie is. The lie is, I'm always going to be an angry parent, and I'm always going to scream at my kids. That's a lie. What is the truth? God is calling me to be an amazing mom. I'm excellent at serving my kids. I love my kids radically. Those are some truths. It can be really simple. Going to give you another minute to do that. It's really important. So sometimes if you're having a hard time figuring out the truth over a situation, what I like to do is, if I'm in a really stressful, hard situation and my back's against the wall and I feel like I can't get victory over something, I put myself right next to Jesus, because that's where we are. We're seated with Christ in heavenly places. I put myself in the heavenly perspective, and I ask God to show me his perspective of the same situation that I'm in. Because from this perspective, I'm not seeing any outcomes here that are good, and I'm not seeing anything that I can do. But if I see his perspective, then, okay, then suddenly, boom, like, there it is, I got it. God's perspective. This problem is so tiny compared to who God is, and he can do anything, and he's so great, and he's so grand. And suddenly, I don't really need a Cadillac Escalade. Okay, that's just a side note, even though that would be fun. Cadillac Escalade. It's the first time she's ever cried in service. She's so cute and sweet. She's just perfect. All right, number six. When you do sin, clean up your mess. This is so important because there's consequences to our sin that happens in our life. So I'm going to tell you a story, and it's kind of intense. But so when I was in Bible college, they had revival pastors. So, like, they split the whole school up into small groups. I had a group about 70 kids, 70 students. And our revival group pastor, they just pastor that small group. So there's like 20 of them or so. Anyways, he ended up having an inappropriate relationship with one of the interns in our group. And it was quite devastating to hear about it. But he was the one that told us about the thing that happened. He came to our group, and he told us what happened. His wife was there, and they told us everything that happened. And he stepped down for the rest of that school year. And then he went in front of the entire school and also told them that he was sorry for his actions and how it caused pain on the school and maybe embarrassment for the school and all these things. And he was cleaning up his mess. And that was a really painful experience to go through when I was there. Like, I don't really like talking about it because it puts Bethel in a bad light, and I love Bethel, so I just, like, it's not worth talking about someone else's sin, but it's a great example for me. But, like, last summer, I saw a video on YouTube of his wife sharing a testimony at Bethel, and in the testimony, she shared how amazing God has transformed their marriage, and how they're still together, and how he is now a revival group pastor still, and they, like, restored him to where he was, and because he cleaned up his mess. What I might have done, I might have moved. You know what I mean? Like, because that's kind of like easier. You know, it's easier to do that. It's easier to get away from the mess instead of run full on into that mess. And from years from now, people are still gonna know that, hey, you cheated on your wife. You know, but that they changed that, and he cleaned up his mess, and he made it something beautiful and something that God can use for awesome, like an awesome testimony in the future. So I think that's really cool. And it just, even though it's painful, you got to take responsibility for the mess that you make in your life. We are adults, and that's who God's calling us to be, is powerful people. And we can take responsibility for our sin in our life. Yeah. Thanks, Josh. Was that Josh's dad? Sorry. You sound a lot alike. I don't know. You related, you know? All right. Number 7 is worship. It's the warfare of heaven and earth. Thankfulness. I personally don't want to sin when I'm in front of Jesus' presence, guys. Like, when I'm in his presence, I'm like, oh, no way, Jose. Like, that's not part of my life. So, surround yourself in the presence of God, and the rest will be history. It's more than just songs. It's so much more than that. So on Tuesday night, shameless plug, at 9:00, we'll be worshiping right here. Come enjoy and come get free with us. We'll be here. All right. That's pretty self-explanatory. All right, number 8, testimonies. We will overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimonies. That is in the Bible, guys. Our church is so, so, so good at this, at sharing testimonies. Every single meeting that we have at our church, we open with testimonies. Sometimes half the meeting is just testimonies, because the testimony is the spirit of prophecy. So when you share a testimony, the chances of that happening again just like skyrocketed for someone else's life. So when someone shares a testimony about how they got healed, someone else will get healed. When someone shares a testimony about how God delivered them from like lust and from like pornography or something like that, that it's more likely for someone else to be healed of that as well, and to be delivered from that as well. And do you guys know that we are living in the information age, and that the internet is so full of testimonies? So does anybody have access to YouTube in the room? Like, come on. Like, Patty's like, you can just like, it's in your pocket right now. You can pull it out and you can hear the goodness of God, and you can hear testimonies on literally any subject out there in the whole world. And you can just get like free from any person out there. It's so easy to access. If you don't know who to look up on YouTube or something, just ask like your neighbor in this room. They probably have 20 of their favorite people, and they would love to talk to you all day about it, because that's what we do around here. Is we love pulling on those resources that we have to be completely free and set free. And I feel like that is just gonna, like, the internet is not meant for bad, it's meant for good, guys. Like, I feel like God's gonna use it, he's gonna transform it and use it for something good, even though there's all this nasty stuff out there. I just feel like the church is gonna rise up and put way more good stuff out there to see the world set free from all that nasty stuff. So there you go, testimonies. So number 9, realizing how good and gracious our Father God is. It's intimacy with God produces fruit in our life. I'm going to say that again. Intimacy with God produces fruit in our life. And I'm not just talking about fruit in our ministry of people getting saved. I'm talking like about the fruit of the Spirit, about love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. All those fruit in our life comes from being intimate with the Father and knowing Him and knowing His heart. If you just want to know how God's heart is, just start reading Psalms. Just until you get your breakthrough. I heard Bill Johnson say that once. He just, like, whenever he's like struggling with something in his life, he just starts reading Psalms, and then until he finds his breakthrough. I mean, it's so easy. The Bible is so like relevant to our life, guys. God is very present in helping our lives. The thing I love the most about God is His faithfulness. Like, whenever I call upon the Lord, I know He's listening to me. I know He's like right there, intimately hearing my prayers and wants to be with me. That's like, I love that about Him. He is so good. He's such a good God, and He's such a good Father. So I did have a psalm I'm going to read, but we're running out of time. So number 10, approaching sin with faith and not fear. So we also have the fear of the Lord, but we're approaching sin that we have faith to overcome that sin, and we're not fearful that we're going to sin again. We don't show God that we love Him by not sinning. We cannot prove that we are sinless. We come from a heart of loving God first, and obedience will come with the heart that is right by God. All right, let's just read some scriptures, because I don't think I'm really presenting this very well. Isaiah 35, verse 4. Tell everyone who is discouraged, be strong, and do not be afraid. God is coming to your rescue. That's what the Bible says, guys. Psalm 55, verse 22. Says, cast your cares on the Lord, and He will sustain you. He will never let the righteous fall. He will never let the righteous fall. Boom. All right, Psalm 46, verse 1. God is our refuge and our strength, an ever-present help in trouble. An ever-present help in trouble. Ever-present. That's crazy. Omnipresence. That means God is always with us. That's His name. All right, number 11, and this one's huge. Just know that it's a spiritual battle. And you already have the victory because you are dead to sin, all right? Because we already talked about that, being dead to sin. Just kind of nailing that point in. I learned that from Pastor Jeff. Just keep repeating it until people are like, I got it, I got it, I got it. I'm dead to sin, okay? I got it, okay? But it's a spiritual battle. It's not just, it's just not you in that sin. It's not just your flesh. But there's more to what's going on behind the veil than what we can see with our earthly eyes, guys. And so that's why we need our friends. That's why we need accountability. That's why we need to pray. And that's why we need to do these things. That's why when we do sin, it affects lots of people around us beyond what we even know, because it's a spiritual realm. When we're releasing that nasty stuff into the spiritual atmosphere, nasty stuff's released. But it happens on the opposite as well. So when we release amazing things into the spiritual atmosphere in our home, amazing things happen, guys. Like, it's like, without a doubt. Do you know, like, there's a verse in the Bible where it says, the word of God will not bring back void. Like, no matter what, when you preach or when you say the word of God, it's always going to produce something. Always. Like, no matter what. Because we're in a spiritual war here. We're in a spiritual battle. Everything is spiritual. So, for we do not fight against flesh and blood, right? Even of our own self, right? We do not fight against that, but against rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers of the dark world, and against evil spirits in heavenly spirit places. That was in Ephesians. Didn't have the reference, though. Okay, this scripture includes us. We're not fighting against ourselves, but we're fighting against the unseen world. We talked about that. Okay, and then number 12. You can talk about that for days, spiritual battles. All right. If you sin, repent immediately. And God can use that. So I shared that example of my revival group pastor, and it sounds like really crazy that they would restore them, right? It just sounds like kind of radical, like that they would restore them. But there is a man in the Bible, and this is what happened to him. And God called him a man after his own heart. His name is David. You guys know who that guy is, right? David. This is David. This is a story about David. So David sinned. And God called him a man after his own heart. In the Bible, there was this situation where he looked out and he saw this girl. Her name is Bathsheba, taking a bath. Ironically, her name is Bathsheba. He saw her taking a bath. I always thought that was really weird and kind of awkward. So he saw her out there taking a bath, and he lusted after her. And he's like, I want that woman. That's what happened. David sinned. That's first sin. So what does he do? He takes her, basically. And also what he does is finds a way for her husband to die by putting him at the front of the lines in a war. This isn't a really exciting story about David. I feel like if he's in this room right now, he'd be so embarrassed, you know, about this story, you know, like, because that's really sad. That sucks that happened to him. But he found a way for her husband to be in the front lines of battle and for him to die so that he can be with this girl that he impregnated. So, yeah, that's awkward. Isn't that awkward, guys? That's a really terrible thing to happen. You don't even want your kids to read about that because it's so, like, none of that is okay. Like, not even okay. Like, as a parent, you'd be like, no, that's not how we treat people. We don't murder people. I mean, these are all things that we know are wrong. And David knew it was wrong, too. But David, he cleaned up his mess. He repented. One of his children died as a result of this sin, but he stayed married to this Bathsheba girl, and they had a baby named Solomon. And Solomon is in the line of Jesus. So God took this guy's messy sin, and he brought Jesus out of this crazy line of this crazy thing that happened to him. Isn't that weird that God would do that? Like, that just doesn't even make sense to me. But God, in his, like, sovereignty and in his goodness, like, he made something beautiful out of something so nasty that everyone in this room is like, why are you telling that story? You know, like, it's so awkward. But, like, it's just, that's who God is. And that's what he can do with a heart that is full of repentance and that is after his own heart. And that was David. All right, I'm going to have Chad come and lead some worship. Just going to do a ministry time here. I left enough time so we can do this. And I just want us to get serious. And maybe this is like your moment, by the lake moment, where you're like, okay, I'm just sick of this sin in my life. I'm sick of this filth in my life. Whatever it may be, I wouldn't necessarily write it down because you probably are embarrassed to tell this person next to you. But I want you to go after God in this moment. I'm just going to take 5 minutes and we're going to worship. And we're going to go after the things that are strongholds in our life, so to speak. And we're going to become dead to them this morning, okay? And we're going to come alive to Jesus. Then we'll pray, okay? So, Father, right now, I just ask you, God, right now, that you would just come and you'd bring to mind to people's hearts. So let's just close your eyes and bow our heads if you want, if that will help you focus. Just bring to people's heart, God, like a sin that they need to repent of. That they're like just done with. Maybe they repented over 1,000 times, God, but they're just like, oh, okay, I'm done. I'm done with this filth. I'm done with this thing that I know that you're calling me to be free from, that I know you've already set me free from. I'm done with it. I pray that you just bring it to their mind and they would just go after it today and they'd just be free, God. It matters, God. It matters that no one in this room, God, would be stuck in the pit, God, of sin and the consequences of it, God. Just ask for freedom in this place.
how I find my battles. This is how I find my battles. Hear me look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. Hear me look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. This is how I fight my battles. 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 It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. Oh, it may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you.
Yes, God. So powerful. Yeah, Jesus. Just make it so easy, Jesus. You make it so easy, God, to live in victory, Jesus. You made the way for us so easy, Jesus. Jesus, there's no cost. We give it all to you, Jesus. There's no cost. We just give it all to you, Jesus. You are worth it, Jesus. You are worth it, Jesus. That was so powerful. I'm so excited about that. I just feel like God was breaking stuff off of people's hearts in this room. I was just seeing like heaviness lift off of people's shoulders. Was anyone feeling that? I was feeling that in this room. That's really cool. Just some heaviness. Dark days are behind you guys. I'm so excited for you. All right. So I just want to bless you with a couple scriptures before you leave. First, Galatians 5, verse 22 through 23. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no laws. So just bless everybody in this room with the fruit of the Spirit, God. And I pray that it would just come and would just bring revival in their hearts, God. And I pray that all these things would be fruit in their life, God. And during the end time revival, God, that's coming, I pray that you would just produce these fruit 100-fold in each of our life, God. And this last scripture, I want to pray the armor of God over you. I'm just going to read it to you. Finally, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can make a stand against the devil's schemes. That's you guys. You guys can do that. Yeah. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against the powers of the world's darkness, against the spiritual forces of the evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you'll be able to stand your ground, and having done everything to stand firm with the belt of truth fastened around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness arrayed, and with your feet fitted with the readiness of the gospel of peace. Come on. In addition to this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times with every kind of prayer and petition. To this end, stay alert with all perseverance in your prayers for all the saints. So I just pray for this church, God, right now. God, I pray that we would all, God, take up the full armor of God, God, and we would just be fully righteous in you, God. We would fully take on what you did for us, God, on the cross, Jesus, and we would embrace, God, the life that you have given us, God, to live in righteousness, God. And God, I just pray that we'd be completely fully involved, God, in the revival that's coming of the harvest of souls, God, and the people that, God, that get saved, God, in this revival will come under, God, this righteousness, God, that we have cultivated, God, in the secret place, and the breakthrough that we have gotten in the secret place, God. I pray that our ceiling would be their floor, Jesus, and I pray that they would just come into it in Jesus' name, and I pray that you bless everyone in this room in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Thanks, guys. All right.